The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Arthur Idala on AM 970, The Answer.
This is the Arthur Idala Power Hour with quintessential New Yorker attorney Arthur Idala, New York's go-to lawyer. He's here to share his stories from in the courtroom and around the city with interviews from high-profile guests and everyday folks calling in to talk about everything from politics, lifestyle, health and wellness, and more. And now your host, making the case for the city he loves, attorney Arthur Idala.
All right. Welcome back to the Arthur Idala Power Hour. We're still on a high off of yesterday. Steve Cuozzo was here from the New York Post, and we got so much positive feedback from that show. Obviously I appreciate it, and we're going to have him back again, right, Joni Pelzer?
Steve Cuozzo. Yes, we will have Steve Cuozzo back.
Alex, thank you. Thank you, Alex. I mean, you and Cimbalino, you got to have your fingers on the button, man.
I know.
You know, once we hear her, we got to have that thing. But, you know, I love to give Joan a hard time, but I could never do this whole thing without her. And
you wouldn't
Joan,
want to.
Didn't you say there's been a lot of complaints that you haven't been on the air enough? You haven't been speaking enough?
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody that was in the office yesterday, a regular listener of yours, said, I don't understand why he puts the whole, you know, presses the button or turns your mic down.
Two months from right now, I'll be away for like 3 days.
And you're going to get me the whole time. But we had a fun, this was an energetic, fun day in the office today, I must say. Yeah. So, we were in rare form.
I'm going to talk about John Catsimatidis.
And it wasn't because of March Madness, right?
No, it was not because of March Madness. Definitely not. I'm going to talk about John Catsimatidis, who you just heard here. But just to get you know, sometimes I guess we need to blow off a little steam, lighthearted steam. So in the middle of the day here, Judge Leventhal calls like a group to get like a group. He's like, just tells everyone. He goes in the middle of the office. He goes, everyone come out here. I have a big announcement. I don't know what he's going to say, right? And we're on pins and needles here waiting for the Harvey Weinstein decision to be handed down, the Ghislaine Maxwell decision to be handed down.
Yeah, we've been a little busy in this office.
Leo, yesterday we got a positive decision on the Michael Cohen case where there was artificial intelligence used by one of the lawyers here, and that was a problem. But we got out of that mess. So everything's good. So I'm like, what's this big announcement? Judge Leventhal called everyone here to announce that Michael DiBenedetto, I think, how old is he, John? 32, 33? DiBenedetto, something like that.
Yeah,
and to announce that when Mr. DiBenedetto was in high school, he came in second in the PSAL cross-country race in his senior year. So he gathered us all together to tell us that. I used it as an opportunity to address the troops because I was like, okay, well, since we're all here, this is what we're working on. This is what's going on. Next 2 weeks from now, April 4th, we have a big office meeting because the first quarter will be under our belt. And I'll tell us the good stuff and the not so good stuff. And said, no, absolutely
not. I'm going to have FOMO.
It's a lawyers-only meeting.
I did get some good photos of that announcement.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about, we're going to talk about crime in the subways and in the city and people's attitude about the life in the city with Chief of Transit, Mike Kemper, who's, thank God, become a regular on this show because you're getting real feedback from the real people who have their fingers on the pulse. But John Catsimatidis, who you hear here every weeknight at 5 o'clock, he has his fingers on the pulse, and it says, shoplifters beware. John Catsimatidis, the CEO of New York's Gristiti's and Food Emporium chains, is not having it. When it comes to the stealing and selling off of food, when it comes to stealing and selling of food from their markets, Catsimatidis and his staff sometimes, unlike other retailers, tackle shoplifters before the police can arrive. They don't do that usually, right? Usually in other places, they say, just let them go, let them go. But Catsimatidis, God bless him, I think he's got some private security staff there that grabs these guys. But he said, ready for this? One of the most stolen items is Häagen-Dazs ice cream. not exactly sure why. He has put together some sort of anti-theft coding system so that staff can then trace where it is sold. Dial 911 and you might as well just go away, Katsimatidis has told the New York Post. Shoplifters will take half the store before the police arrive. Now, I was told that's not true in Bay Ridge, but the 6-8 precinct is really fantastic. I know a lot of cops from the 6-8 listen to the show, so hats off to them. Rewards for defending the markets range from $100 to $500, plus medical expenses and any potential legal fees. And he's the head of security for Katsimatidis, and he's a former cop. I mean, shoplifting. So what we're going to talk to Mike Kemper about is that poll that we've been talking about all week about New Yorkers saying that you know, the city's not as great as it was 5 years ago or 7 years ago. One of the issues is shoplifting. One of the issues is the fact that when you go into stores around here, all of your, the stuff that you need, like toothpaste and underarm deodorant, and it's all locked behind these cabinets, which, by the way, these guys now are just breaking the cabinets. I saw a video online of a kid so calm, and I could just tell by his body language he was a kid because he had a ski mask on. He just walked into one of these places literally with a blowtorch. A small handheld blowtorch and a backpack. And he just went with the blowtorch, he went right to the cabinet, went right to the little lock. You know, they're all on there. They're screwed into plastic, so the plastic melts pretty easily. Blowtorches the plastic until it melts. And now the lock is no longer securing anything. And just opens it up and, like, calm. No rush. There's no rush. And he's just putting the stuff into his backpack and calmly walks out. That's crazy. So I applaud John Katsimatidis, not just because he's a friend and someone who I look up to as a great New Yorker, for doing this, for taking a stand, because these other places, they just let it happen. And I don't think you should let it happen. Now, I know it's an extra expense to have a security guard there, just like I'm sure it's an extra expense for all of our taxpayer dollars to have the National Guard down in the subway. But that the image of authority is a deterrent. Because as brazen as these kids are, they don't really want to go to Rikers Island. Of course, now they're not going to go to Rikers Island. I guess let me correct myself. And that's one of the problems. I'm sure that's something we're going to talk to Chief Kemper about. I was speaking to Sid Rosenberg on WABC. And, you know, he's doing very, very well because he had President Trump on the day before yesterday. And I said, look, you know, guys like us need to band together. And without getting, like, overly political, what's really going to fix this system, and it won't be immediate, but the Democrats in the New York State Legislature have made it clear that they're not willing to make any drastic changes to bail reform. So the only way to make it happen is if somehow or another the Republicans can take over one of those two chambers. They're not going to take over the Assembly. It's an overwhelming majority. But they could take over the Senate if things really flipped. And I'm not looking at flip bail reform totally on its head. There are some aspects of it that make sense, but these recidivists, and I'm sure Chief Kemper is going to talk about it right after this segment. It's ridiculous what a small amount of people are committing such a disproportionate amount of crime. And some of them have been arrested so many times, but if you're arrested, just so you understand, if you're arrested for a misdemeanor, which is a crime where it's punishable by less than a year in jail, the judges cannot set bail on you. It doesn't matter if you've been arrested 400 times. It doesn't matter if you're arrested 10 times in the last 2 weeks. It's against the law for them to set bail on you. That is crazy. Cray, cray, crazy. And, you know, the progressive, quote-unquote progressive legislators who are advocating for these laws, they usually represent the neighborhoods that are the most victimized by these people and these misdemeanors. Those citizens who vote these people in, they want those laws changed. But the legislators, you know, they don't pick up on it. And why do they get reelected? Well, number one, not enough people go out and vote. Number two, people just vote on name recognition or on party affiliation. But even in a primary, they're like, they see the name they know, and then there's the name they don't know, and they vote for the name they know. But meanwhile, the name they know is the one who's saying, yeah, let's not change the law so that a judge has the power when someone has a warrant history, but they're misdemeanors, or has three strikes or you're out of misdemeanors, and I'm going to put them in Rikers Island until they settle their case. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, common sense, New York City street sense. is if a guy keeps doing the same thing over and over again, don't you think we need to find a way to charge them? Now, I don't know. Maybe the DA's office can get creative and try to figure out how to make something that's a misdemeanor into a felony that is bail eligible, and a judge can set bail. But if someone's just stealing toothpaste that doesn't have a value that rises to the level of a felony, there's nothing they can do. And do they really want to do it? That's the other question. Do the DAs really want to figure out a way to turn misdemeanors into a felony? Believe me, the feds do it. They figure out a way to trump up charges the best that they can so that guys wind up taking pleas and they don't, without even having to go to a trial. We all agree. I had a great dinner last night with a bunch of real invested New Yorkers. You know, that poll of the 6,000 people they polled, half of them going to leave the city within 5 years. No one I had dinner with last night, you know, Anthony Carone, Sid Rosenberg, Keith Kantrowitz, and many others, they're not going anywhere. I actually saw the councilwoman, Ina Vernikov. They're not going anywhere. They're digging in their heels to fight harder to make this city the best they could be. But we all got to work together, not get caught up in these stupid fights, Republican, Democrat, bubble. It's we're all human beings. We're all Americans. We're all New Yorkers. We're all city folks. We need to work together to find solutions. And there is a very simple solution to the crime stuff. It really is. We'll talk to Chief Kemper next. But it's really about giving the judges the power to hold people in when they keep committing the same crimes over and over again. And hats off to John Catsimatidis for saying, hey, we're going to put a stop to shoplifting. Maybe if other people follow him and start taking matters into their own hands, the shoplifting spree will slow down and crime will go down. All right, I'm really excited. We're going to have a great show on this Thursday night. We're going to bring on Chief Kemper, and I'm sure I'll have some interesting conversations with him. I'm sure I'll have a fight with Joan along the way, we're going to have a lot of fun. All right, folks, it's the Arthur Idala Power Hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Arthur Idala of the Idala Power Hour. I am so excited about this event we are hosting this Monday night, March 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. live. Come meet us outside on the famous Restaurant Row, 46th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue, Hold Fast Kitchen and Spirits, 364 West 46th Street, for an outdoor live remote broadcast of the Arthur Idala Power Hour in conjunction with the Times Square Alliance. Come out and meet me in person along with my co-host for the night, Tom Harris, president of the Times Square Alliance, along with special guests, some of the most amazing restaurateurs along Restaurant Row. Did you know that one block contains more than a century of culinary history? So join us Monday, March 25th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Hold Fast Kitchen and Spirits, 364 West 46th Street. I promise it'll be a fun night on New York City's historic and famous Restaurant Row at the crossroads of the world in the greatest city in the world, New York City. Hey, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my family friend, Rob Sabah, and his family. Sabah family owned and operated. This Honda dealer has been there for over 60 years, serving the five boroughs. I've gotten cars there. My whole family has. My mother, my sister, my grandfather. Everyone knows to go to Bay Ridge Honda because the Sabah family and their team make you feel like you're part of their family, and they are the most trusted in the business. To kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. $0 deals. That means zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9%, and no payments until summer 2024. 90 days of no payments. They have best prices around and will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the Civic, the HR-V, the CR-V, the Accord, and the Passport. Honda has them all. Serving the five boroughs of New York, every new vehicle comes with the Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at bayridgehonda.com.
Make sure to tune in this and every Saturday at noon to hear The Lead Guy, Nick DeMauro, Executive Director and CEO of LEAD, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence, speak with experts, educators, and law enforcement about important issues affecting you and your children. Catch the new show, Battling Drugs and Violence, with The Lead Guy on AM 970 The Answer. For topical information and insights from experts waging the battle against drugs and violence in your community.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. I'd like to introduce you to the premier business in the investigative and security field in the United States today, Brosnan Risk Consultants, founded by my friend Pat Brosnan, decorated retired NYPD detective. You must be diligent in protecting the business you worked so hard to grow, family you cherish, and the lifestyle you've achieved. Luckily, there is Brosnan Risk Consultants to keep your business healthy, keep your family safe, and identify the approaching rising tide of danger and loss well before it destroys what you have built. Brosnan Risk Consultants have been protecting clients for over 25 years, operational in 45 states and over 500 cities. Don't settle for second best. Brosnan is the gold standard in investigative and security services. Call now 800-590-2180 or go online to brosnanrisk.com. B-R-O-S-N-A-N risk.com.
Sure. Let's talk about Connors and Sullivan. We all know that planning for the future is important. Are you and your family protected? If you're not around to make the decisions, who will? Are your assets protected from probate and nursing home costs? The time to plan is now. Correct. On my birthday, on your birthday, the soonest possible, that's the way to go. You may need a will, a trust, a power of attorney, a health care proxy, a living will, an estate plan. The goal of Connors and Sullivan attorneys is always the protection of your rights and interests. They've been helping people like you plan their estates and protect their families for over 40 years. So visit them for a free, no obligation consultation. Call Connors and Sullivan today to schedule a free in-person initial consultation with an attorney at any of their convenient locations in Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Or visit their website, ConnorsandSullivan.com. And remember what Mike Connor says, the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
A little brass monkey on a Thursday. I don't think I'm going to be hitting the brass monkey tonight, though. In 1987, that spring, that's when this album was like through the roof. As we said last week, License to Ill, I think, was the first album. Either License to Ill was the first album or Fight for Your Right to Party was the first song to ever hit number one ever by a rap song ever. So we went and found Brass Monkey, and Brass Monkey was a, I'm going to talk to Chief Kemper in a second. I don't know if he knows this. Brass Monkey was like a pre-made drink that you'd buy in the liquor store. And I believe it had like a vodka base, and there was some other kind of, maybe like triple sec. And then they added something that was supposed to make it like taste good, but it didn't taste that good. And, my buddy Noah drank a lot of it at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and somewhere in by 6:30 he was sleeping. I just remember if you love the song Brass Monkey, don't be drinking any Brass Monkey. I don't even know if they still sell it. Alex, maybe you could go online during this segment and see if you can find us a bottle of Brass Monkey, and Chief Kemper and I will start hitting it on one of his RDOs. That stands for regular days off. But let me ask something, Chief Kemper, on this Thursday. Do you get RDOs as a chief?
First of all, good afternoon, Arthur. And do I get RDOs? I love the terminology. You're speaking like a real cop. RDO. Hey, RDOs are right. So, yes and no. I mean, I'm never really off. I mean, I'm a day where I don't come to the office. I'm still working on the phones, either through emails, text messages, or fielding phone calls. So, I truly never have a real full day off. No.
Well, and as chief of transit, I know you're always, you know, your phone is always on. Now, I was blessed enough to spend some time with you last night in a social setting. But, you know, yeah. I know you're always working. You were working the phone last night. How much sleep does a guy like Chief Michael Kemper, the chief of transit, get?
So it depends. I don't get much sleep. And even when I'm sleeping, my mind is going. That's just the way I'm wired. But I usually... maybe 4 hours a night, you know, and it's some nights are better than others, but probably an average of four to 5 hours a night.
Only because you're very good friends with Joan. How many? You get like 12 hours of sleep.
Are
right?
You kidding me?
13? Or
I'm up at
days?
5 a.m. every day.
Yeah, but you go to bed at 8.
Oh, please.
What?
I didn't get invited to go out with you guys last night.
It was boys only. Boys.
What?
It was boys only.
Oh, man.
And Joan,
I'm jealous, Chief.
We went to Arthur's restaurant. I did not know he owned the restaurant in Manhattan, and he named
yes,
it.
Yes, that's
after
right.
Himself.
That actually was pretty cool.
He also owns Arthur Avenue in the Bronx.
Our friend Keith Kentrowitz, he and Anthony Carone picked the restaurant, and they're like, "Oh, it'll be easy for you to remember. It's called Arthur and Sons." And luckily, Joan, they sell T-shirts. And I bought one, and God willing, this weekend there'll be a picture of me wearing the T-shirt with little Arthur on the one side and big Luca on the other side. No, because I'm Arthur and they're my sons.
Yeah, but Arthur is Arthur.
Yeah, but he doesn't have sons.
Okay.
It's Arthur and
okay.
sons,
That's
so it's
true.
Arthur and my sons.
That's
get
true.
It?
Okay.
Joan, listen to me. He's not wearing no T-shirt. First of all, I was dressed like a bum. Arthur walks into this restaurant. He's got the suit. He's got the tie. He's got the jacket. He's got the hat. He walked in like a GQ male model. Trust me when I tell you he's not wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, and he's wearing his pointy maroon shoes today. He's GQ all the way.
Well, we had a good time. So, all right, Chief. So I was...
And by the way, I can't find anything with... There's a breast monkey drink, but it's not an actual bottle
of
something.
It's not pre-made? Okay.
No, you can make the drink, though. We'll make a drink. We'll look it up and make
well, what's
the
in
drink.
The ingredients? Quick.
I have to pull
all
it
right.
up. Hold
all right, let's
on.
Talk about serious stuff.
Bottle.
It's
oh,
Thursday night, folks. We've been working all week. You know,
too much sleep, I guess.
Yeah, Joni with all her sleep. The Kemper doing 4 hours doesn't work. So
you get. I mean, listen, you say my life is crazy. Your life is crazy also. How many hours a night do you get on average, honestly?
Yeah, if he's not at the office, he probably gets 2 or 3.
No, what I strive for, like the goal is like 6.5.
Okay.
But last week, because I wear the little thing, last week I got 5 hours and 31 minutes. And okay. So it's 5 hours, 46 minutes, 5 hours, 22 minutes. It was one night I slept 4 hours and 21 minutes. Another night I slept 4 hours and 34 minutes. I tried. My goal is 6. But, you know, I'm looking at week after week. It's usually more like 5.5, 5.5. Oh, there's one week with 6 hours and 2 minutes. So 1 hour, 1 week, 5 hours and 50 minutes. But, you know, as we get a little older and we're a couple of years apart, you know, the same thing
you're, for the record, you're older, okay?
For the record, I'm older.
I'm older than him, actually.
All right, then I'm the baby here.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you guys, while we're having some fun here, I'm going to give you the info on this drink. So you know that the Beastie Boys released Brass Monkey in 1986. People assumed they were talking about a homemade combo of malt liquor and orange juice mixed in a bottle. But actually, they said it was dark rum, vodka, and orange juice. And it was pre-mixed in a bottle and launched by the Hublin
yes,
company
that was it. I
in Hartford,
with an H.
Connecticut
yes.
in 1971.
There you go.
So we'll figure out how to make it,
so
what dose
it's orange juice, vodka,
and rum,
all right,
dark
Hassan.
Rum.
I got Joe Hassan here, so that's I think, you know what? I do have dark rum here, and I do have vodka here, so maybe one day.
Oh, here's the actual recipe. 1 ounce white rum, 1 ounce vodka, fresh orange juice, and an orange wheel. Then add rum and vodka to a highball. Top it with orange juice and stir. This is supposed to be for Friday's cocktail
yeah,
with your
right,
father.
We just banged it out. All right. So, Chief, I got to get a little serious here. Obviously, you can tell Kemper's part of the party here, and David and Florence. David and Florence are probably listening, and they're proud of their son. So, give us the State of the Union of the Transit Bureau.
You know, Arthur, there's so much good going on in the subway system. There really is. And unfortunately, the good does not get publicized. And everyday good's going on. Crime fighting. Our cops are doing incredible work. And I always say it's not all about fighting crime, what our cops do. They save people. They rescue people. I just put something onto my social media this morning. Capturing 2 cops in Brooklyn, jumping onto the live train tracks as a train's about to come in to save somebody who had a medical episode and fell onto the tracks and rescue him. Our cops are saving people that are going through overdoses. I mean, you name it, you know, our cops do it. They do it exceptionally. They do it every single day. And listen, I get it. It's just these high profile, unfortunate incidents that really, really get publicized, make the news cycle. And that's what really dominates people's minds and messes with their psyches and it concerns them, and we get that. But look, I mean, let's call it real. You know, we talk real. You know, with the exception of these high-profile unfortunate incidents, which we've had, which we spoke about, which concerns – no, it doesn't concern anyone more than us, trust me, Arthur, than us at the NYPD. But, you know, overall crime in February was down 15%. And, you know, when looking at March, we're at March 21st, so the first 3 weeks of March – we're down a little over 15% again for the month of March. So we got to put things in perspective. You know, 2% of all crime in a city happens in the subway system. The subway system is safe. Yes. Do these unfortunate incidents happen? Yes. But listen, we're talking about a city within a city. You know, 4 million riders a day. You show me any environment where 4 million people cross and there's not going to be issues. You know, it's going to happen, unfortunately, if we're speaking real. And we work hard, and our goal is to prevent incidents from, like, what happened last week in Brooklyn from ever happening. That's our goal. But we're out there. We're focused, and your cops are performing exceptionally.
So before we hit the bottom of the hour, Chief, I got about a minute and a half to go. There was all this talk about the National Guard coming down into the subways. Is that still happening? Is that going on, or was that a one-day event?
No, it's happening. And it began a week and a half ago. And what you saw is the National Guard expand their footprint, if you will. You know, they were deployed. I don't know if anyone realizes they were deployed for a very long time. In Grand Central, Penn Station, World Trade Center, you know, at those commuter hubs, if you will. And, you know, what the governor's direction was to expand that footprint to greater numbers throughout the New York City subway system. And that's what it's done. And they're out. They're with the NYPD working alongside us at bag checks and at turnstile presence. And so far, so good.
Okay, so we're talking to Chief Mike Kemper, the chief of the Transit Bureau of the NYPD. We're going to take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to hold him for one more segment, and we're going to dig a little deeper. I want to talk to Chief Kemper about this article that came out in the New York Times the day before and the last. Is New York better off than it was 7 years ago? New Yorkers say no. I want to go over some of these stats and see what Chief Kemper's got to say. So don't go away. We'll be right back on the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
All the way to the solutions, yeah. Forget all the drugs and gangs, corruption.
Tonight at 7, Legal Night fires up right on time. Just in time for you to have the biggest legal stories of the day brought to you with expertise from Legal All-Star Imran Ansari, and yours truly, Kevin McCullough. That's tonight at 7.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. And whether you're an owner of one machine or have a fleet of hundreds, Esko Truck and Equipment can help with all your equipment needs. Whether it be purchase, lease, or rent, the right machine to improve your business. Esko provides a full line of Link Belt excavators, light equipment from Dynapac and Chicago Pneumatic, or handheld power tools from Steel. Esko Parts can stock an extensive inventory and retrieve parts quickly to minimize your downtime. If you break down in the field and need a part, Esko certified technicians will come to you on site to get you back to work quickly. Esko is there for you every step of the way with regular maintenance, inspections, service, and repair. Serving New York and New Jersey, call Joe Egenio at 718-504-2600. That's 718-504-2600. Or go online to EscoEquipment.com. That's E-S-S-C-O Equipment.com. Esko Truck and Equipment is a DeFazio company. Hi, it's Arthur Idala of the Idala Power Hour. I am so excited about this event we are hosting this Monday night, March 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. live. Come meet us outside on the famous Restaurant Row, 46th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue, Holdfast Kitchen and Spirits, 364 West 46th Street, for an outdoor live remote broadcast of the Arthur Idala Power Hour in conjunction with the Times Square Alliance. Come out and meet me in person along with my co-host co-host for the night, Tom Harris, president of the Times Square Alliance, along with special guests, some of the most amazing restaurateurs along Restaurant Row. Did you know that one block contains more than a century of culinary history? So join us Monday, March 25th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Hold Fast Kitchen and Spirits, 364 West 46th Street. I promise it'll be a fun night on New York City's historic and famous Restaurant Row at the crossroads of the world in the greatest city in the world, New York City. Hi, it's Arthur Idala. Many students finish college without a clear path towards a career. Do you know a graduate in this position? Well, tell them about Plaza College's accelerated program in court reporting, which allows them to speed their way into the legal field and make great money without going to law school. This is an in-demand, lucrative career with flexibility that more people need to know about. I speak to the district attorney's offices often, and they are in dire need of court reporters. Courts, schools, and television stations are all seeking these professionals to record and caption everything from depositions, classes, live shows, and sporting events. And the National Court Reporters Association has partnered with Plaza College to offer a free two-week virtual seminar that gives a glimpse into the world of court reporting and captioning. The program is called A to Z and is being offered free and can be completed from the convenience of your home. So sign up today by emailing info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
We return now with lifetime New Yorker and legal analyst, attorney Arthur Idala, and the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
You gotta fight for your right.
Well, it's Arthur Idala. We're here at the bottom of the hour. We're heading into almost to 7 o'clock. And it's interesting that Alex chose that song to party, because what I found out in the break is that we have a reason to party, because it's somebody's birthday, and it's not mine and Joni's or Alex's. So whose birthday going to be, Joni?
Happy birthday, Chief Michael Kemper.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. 25 years old today. Is that I'm getting old. Thank you.
Well, happy birthday. Are you doing anything wild today, Chief?
Yeah, I'm in my office. I've been here for a few hours. I'm working till late tonight. I'm working. That's what I'm doing on my birthday. But hopefully I'll get some time over the weekend to go to dinner with my wife and friends.
What about Chell? Is Chell's not buying you beer? I mean, what's the matter with him? He's...
I got to grab him. That guy doesn't go in his pocket, Arthur.
Oh, no. Oh, here we go. Hey, I'm not sure if that's true. All right, so, you know, we're talking to Chief Mike Kemper. He's the chief of transit. There's this big article that came out. It is basically a recitation of a survey that came out by the Citizens Budget Commission. And, you know, they're talking about, they interviewed. Now, this is the thing, Chief. They spoke to over 6,000 New Yorkers. I mean, that's a big number. And here is the question. How would you rate the quality of life in New York City overall? In 2008, 50.9, which is 51%, said the quality of life is excellent or good. So more than half. 2008.
Okay.
2008. That was the Bloomberg administration. 2017, in the heart of the de Blasio, 51.2% of New Yorkers, even a little bit higher, said the quality of life in New York City is excellent or good. 2023, 30%. So we lost 20% somewhere between 2017 and 2023. Chief Michael Kemper, you're a New Yorker. The question was, just to reiterate it, was how would you rate the quality of life in New York City overall? So it's not just crime. It's how people feel about everything, about crime, about sanitation, about education, you know, just the overall vibe in New York. 2008, basically, it was 51% said it was great. In 2017, 51% said it was great. 2023, 30% said it was great. So they lost about 21% of people feeling great about New York City. What does Chief Kemper say?
So first of all, listen, a lot of questions. Surveys are surveys, and I don't know who was surveyed, how old they are, what they hear in 2008.
But it was all the thing is there was a lot of them, though. There were 6,000 people surveyed. I mean, that's a big survey.
Arthur, I'm out and about every single day. New York City is packed. You know what I'm saying? Go to Times Square, go to Union Square.
Oh, the Village. We were in the Village last night. It was packed.
Listen, it's New York City. And, you know, I think a lot of this has to do, and I heard you, you were on an interview a week ago, and I listened to your interview, and I was, man, that's spot on, you know, with the perception and you know, how we receive news and reports with what's going on now versus years ago. And I think a lot of this is social media driven. Years ago, people got their news and they saw what was happening from a newspaper or the nightly news, right? And the nightly news, depending on what was going on in the world or the city, they had 30 minutes or an hour to report everything they had to get out, and that was it. Now with social media, you know, people are out, there's millions of journalists, if you will, reporting, and everyday New Yorkers just reporting everything they see. So they, you know, they see a lot, but they didn't have the opportunity to see years ago. I mean, if you look at the data, we're down in overall crime, and that's our challenge. And we talk about this all the time, the challenge of perception. And it's a very, very big challenge that we have, and we work on it every day. But nobody could tell me that it's out of control in New York City. It's worse now than 2008. My personal honest opinion is it's better now than 2008. Are we perfect? Are we 100% there? No.
Well, then tell me why. Tell me why, Chief Kemper. Why do you think we're better now than in 2008?
I just think, listen, I just walking around the city, seeing what's going. Listen, if you're looking at crime stats alone, we could talk about crime stats. But just looking around what's going on in the city, the streets are packed. They're booming. And this is New York City. Everyone wants to come to New York City. And again, I think a lot of this has to do with social media and the way that we receive information and what's going on nowadays that did not exist years ago. And if it did exist, it was in its infancy stages or it was limited. I think that has a lot to do with people's psyches. They're seeing more now, and they don't recognize that more actually happened years ago. That's just my honest opinion. I heard you talking about it also with, you know, some very...
No, listen, you're correct. You're correct. I'm looking at some of the comp stats, and all I have in front of me is, I'll read it off to you. 1990, in terms of the index crimes, murder, rape, robbery, felony assault, burglary, and grand larceny auto, all together, there were basically 500,000 crimes in 1990. In 1993, that's when Giuliani basically came in, there was less than 500,000. It was 430. Now, here's where the big jump goes, and this is where, you know, this is why the Giuliani administration gets the accolades. From 1993, when Giuliani came in, till 2001, when he left, there went from being 430,000 of those index crimes to, when he left, went from 430 to 162,000. Yep. I mean, it really, I mean, so in 93, it was 430. In 98, in the middle of his term, it was 212, so it was cut in half. And by 2001, it was 162. But then you jump forward to 2023, last year. So you go 22 years. Now, so, and this is what I say, when was the city safer, under Giuliani or under Eric Adams? It's safer under Eric Adams by a lot. 162,000 crimes in 2001, 126,000 crimes in 2023. So, of course, you know, we want to get better, but we are better than where people think was the safest time in New York, which was under the Giuliani administration.
Well, let me say this. You know, let's go to prime Giuliani era, 1997. You know, just looking at the subway system, you know, we're down, you know, right now, just about, I would say a little over 60%, or that 60% down in crime is a real number, you know. And to your point, if you ask people, when was it safer, you know, under Giuliani, we're 60% less crime this year versus 1997 in the subway system. So, again, it's the perception of what people see, what people on the news, what they see, you know, to be quite frank, in person. And again, that's notwithstanding, and I have to be real, we got to be real, I'm a real honest person, we do have some high-profile tragic incidents that do occur from time to time. We do. We recognize it. But that is not indicative of what goes on every single day in the subway system at all.
That's so, Chief Kemper, I was talking to Chief Kemper. He's the chief of transit. He blesses us on Thursdays of being with us. Chief, last night, some of the guys at the table were breaking your chops a little bit, saying, well, the numbers are down because the cops aren't reporting the crimes. People aren't reporting the crimes. Cops aren't making the arrests. And they were giving all kinds of excuses why the numbers are getting better. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, everyone's got an excuse. Everyone's got a rebuttal. You know, a few months ago was crimes down because your cops ain't making arrests. And I debunked both of that. First of all, you know, arrests have nothing to do with the crime numbers. The crime numbers that we report are based on crimes reported, not from arrests. That's number one. So if you report a crime, that's a crime on our stats. Doesn't matter if there's an arrest or not on it. And then, you know, to the point of your cops aren't making arrests, well, we're at historic highs with arrests. Arthur, we're over 4,000 arrests already this year. It's March 21st. So it's in the first, you know, 2 months and 3 weeks of 2024, over 4,000 arrests just in the subway system. So if our, you know, if anyone's saying your cops aren't making arrests, that's just not true. And every arrest comes with fingerprints. You know, every arrest is there. So nobody could say that. And again, we're not perfect. We try hard. And I got to say this, you know, at the end of the day, I'm very vocal about this. You know, we can do better as a justice system. And again, your cops are out there. They're working hard, but we can't do it alone. And there's other stakeholders. Again, I'm like a broken record with this. I feel like it goes over people's heads, but they got to understand, you know.
Well, you mentioned the other stakeholders. Let's say, you know, what you're talking about is after the police make the arrest, they hand the case over to the DA's office, and the DA's offices go before the judges. So you're referring to the district attorney's offices in all five boroughs and the judges in all five boroughs, correct?
Yeah, and there's also a big part of that also, you know, again, I'm not blaming just the DAs. I'm not blaming just the judges. Some of them I am. But also, nobody's talking about city and state lawmakers. Like, who makes these laws, right? Our assembly members, right? Do people even know, if you ask 10 people, 100 people right now in New York, random, like that survey you just talked about, who makes the laws in New York City that we're bound by, you know, criminal justice reform? I bet you 90%+ of the people have no clue. It's always all eyes on the NYPD, and that's why I need to talk about this, to educate the public on what's going on. And these people's decisions, the judges, the prosecutors, our assembly members, our city council, their decisions determine the outcomes and consequences for every arrest we make, not the NYPD. And their decisions have such a far-reaching impact on the safety of not only our subway system, but New York as a whole. And people need to realize that, recognize that, and understand how this process works.
Well, I think you're right on. And really what we were talking about last night, and I told you the other night, I went to dinner with Tommy Dades, a storied first grade detective in the city of New York. You know, it's really the Assembly and the Senate. They need to change the bail reform laws. Look, even if they don't want to do sweeping changes that I think are needed, having to do with recidivism, because when you were on last week, you talked about what a fraction of the community is committing a disproportionate amount of the crimes. And judges are saying, I have guys in front of me who have 40 prior arrests, and I can't set bail on them.
Arthur, let me give you a new stat that I spoke about on the news this week. In 2000, this should be, your listeners, listen closely to what I'm about to say, because this should be like, what? And here's the facts. In 2023, cops, NYPD cops arrested over 13,600 people in the subway system. So 13,600 people arrested. So to everyone saying your cops aren't arresting anyone, 13,600 people arrested. But we took a look at those arrests, and we identified 124 of those 13,000 people that were arrested five or more times in the subway system alone in 2023. And then we went further and we looked at these 124 people. Are you ready for this? These 124 people, when combined, have been arrested over 7,500 times in their lifetime. 124 people arrested 7,500 times, and people are still looking at the NYPD saying, what are you doing? The better question is what I just said before. Why are we having to arrest these people 7,500 times? How is this advancing public safety? And what are these other stakeholders doing? And that's where some of this attention should be shifted from keep the attention on us, keep the accountability on the NYPD. You know, keep it. You know, we pride ourselves on being accessible. I'm here. Hold us accountable. But some of that attention, some of that time and eyeballs need to be shifted to these other stakeholders, and they need to be held accountable and asked, why is this happening? Is this true? If true, which it is, why is this happening? And again, with criminal justice reform, I think a lot of it was good intentions, but I think a lot of it has to be looked at now and tweaked. And if it's tweaked the right way and the NYPD is at the table in discussions, we could tweak it. We could still have a good system that will advance public safety.
There you go, folks. You heard it from the birthday boy himself. Happy birthday to the chief. I mean, maybe are we supposed to play Hail to the Chief as well, or is that a little over the top? All right, Chief Kemp. Well, listen, you take care of us down below, up on top. You're a good man, no matter what your wife says, although your wife speaks very highly of you. Joan wants to say,
birthday. You got to be nice.
All right, well.
It's his birthday, the one day we could be really nice.
Happy birthday, Chief Kemp.
Joan, tell him, he's very deep to me.
Listen, I just want to remind you one thing, Chief Kemper. As great as you are, it takes greatness to make greatness, and that greatness goes to David and Florence. So,
good man.
Congratulations on your son's birthday, David and Florence.
Keep making us proud. Keep making us proud. All right, folks, that is a wrap with Chief Kemper. We're going to come back. Don't go away on the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
Ibotta makes it rain real cash back every time you shop for groceries and more. Now Ibotta is making it rain real cash when you visit their cash cloud at the Oculus starting Tuesday, March 19th through Saturday, March 23rd. That's right. It's going to rain real cash at the Oculus this week from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. Visit the Oculus and bring friends to the cash cloud for photo ops and a chance to catch some cash. If you can't make it, visit makeitrain.ibotta.com. That's I-B-O-T-T-A for your chance to catch up to $100.
This is Joe Piscopo. The following is a medical minute sponsored by my friends at InfuCare RX. InfuCareRx.com. Improving quality of life one patient at a time. This week's medical minute features Dr. Meyer Patel of Jersey Shore University Medical Center.
Nutrition is essential for everyone, but for patients with illness, it is even more critical as they need it for healing and recovery. Some patients are unable to eat, digest, or absorb the nutrient through the digestive system because of underlying medical condition. Patients who would benefit from the parenteral nutrition include patients with cancer who are having severe nausea and vomiting and are unable to eat, patients with intestinal obstruction, or patients after stomach or intestinal surgery that may need to rest and heal their digestive tract.
This medical minute is sponsored by InfuCareRx, and the information, comments, or views expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of InfuCareRx. Please consult your medical professional for any medical questions, opinions, or guidance.
Hey, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my family friend, Rob Sabah, and his family. Sabah family owned and operated. This Honda dealer has been there for over 60 years, serving the five boroughs. I've gotten cars there. My whole family has. My mother, my sister, my grandfather. Everyone knows to go to Bay Ridge Honda because the Sabah family and their team make you feel like you're part of their family, and they are the most trusted in the business. To kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. $0 deals. That means zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9%, and no payments until summer 2024. 90 days of no payments. They have best prices around and will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the Civic, the HR-V, the CR-V, the Accord, and the Passport. Honda has them all. Serving the five boroughs of New York, every new vehicle comes with the Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at BayRidgeHonda.com.
Kevin McCullough is next on AM 970, The Answer.
I was bruised and battered, I couldn't tell what I felt. I was...
Great tune here on a Thursday night on the Arthur Idala Power Hour. I believe this song won the Oscar, and it beat out a Neil Young song that also had to do, was also from the movie Philadelphia. I think I'm correct. Uh-oh, wait, Joan Pelzer in the house. Okay, Joan, go ahead.
So Springsteen won the Oscar with Streets of Philadelphia from the 1993 film Philadelphia and was Oscar nominated for the title song from the 1995 film Dead Man Walking, but was passed over with this song from the film starring Mickey Rourke. Isn't that interesting?
Okay, but I asked you about the Neil Young part of it.
I'm looking for the Neil Young part.
So hold on. So here's what happens, folks. I mean, I just said, I think he beat out Neil Young in front of that same thing.
And
Jones looks at me and goes, oh, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Meanwhile, I don't know if I'm right. Yeah, you can't do this to the listeners. Oh, thank you, Alex. Thank you so much.
And he performed the song.
I don't want to know who. I want to know who were the nominees for the Oscar.
We have to restart.
Listen, I don't mind, Joan. I don't mind you chiming in. I just, you know, and you
we
should.
We can't restart. We're on the air right now.
The listeners want to hear.
Okay, here, ready?
Okay,
actually, Bruce Springsteen won the Oscar for Streets of Philly in his acceptance speech.
Right, he mentions Neil Young.
He acknowledged Young and said that the award really deserved to be shared by the other nominee's song.
Okay, look at what the Neil Young song was, please.
I'm looking.
I know this is very vital information to everyone who's listening here and live and local on a New York City night.
You know, it's funny. I looked this up and they don't even put it in the things
If you look up nominees for best song. For the Oscars. I wonder how many people didn't go to work today because it was that whole March Madness thing. I know Mario Romano and his brother-in-law, Nicky Romeo, they used to play hooky even back when we were in the DA's office to watch this. I will admit I never really got into the whole thing. There's only so many hours in the day, and that is a... sporting event that I chose not to follow. Something I did follow. This is a weird thing. So Major League Baseball's schedule doesn't officially start until next week, but it started for two teams this week because they went to Europe to play, and the
I believe they went to Korea, actually.
They went to... I'm sorry. Thank you. See, Alex, thank you very much. Alex corrects me appropriately. And the Dodgers... the Los Angeles Dodgers, they paid $325 million for Yamamoto, that's his last name, Yamamoto, to be their pitcher, and he got his butt kicked, 15-11. But I think in the first inning, because I was listening to it this morning, because it was on like at 8 o'clock this morning, in the first inning, his first inning in the major leagues, they got five runs off of him in the first inning. Yes, there he goes. He got a... Joan, you have an answer?
Yes, I do. Well, they were both... And
they were both nominated.
I read that for the same film, Philadelphia.
Yes, I know,
and the song was called Philadelphia.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Right. So, Alex, if you have with 2 minutes left in the show, could you find Neil Young's
song? I've got it queued up for us to
play,
the show with
play, play it right now, please. Let's get this out of this controversy.
Bruce's
out of the way.
Was Streets of Philadelphia, okay. And Young's was Philadelphia.
Two uplifting songs, one from Bruce Springsteen and one from Neil Young.
And the director, Jonathan Demme, when he heard Neil Young's score for the movie Philadelphia while driving, he was so overcome with emotion, he had to pull over.
This is a really, really great song.
That was a beautiful movie.
By the way, somebody from NBC, keep the music going there, pal. We'll get kicked off of Facebook Live, but that's okay. someone wrote something really stupid, if you my opinion. They wrote, today is, I think this was yesterday, it's Barron Trump turns 18 today. He's fair game now.
That is not
You know
right.
what? Whoever the children are of presidents or officials, like, leave them alone. Barron Trump has largely stayed out of the public eye during his father's presidency. The 6'7" high school senior is frequently seen with his mother, Melania. It's hard when you're 6'7" to be low key, but, you know, there's no reason to bother the kid. Although they got a picture of him, a good looking boy, with his mother's jeans in him. I don't blame them. All right. I mean, I'm not surprised, I should say, for him being a good looking boy. All right. That puts a wrap on thing. I want to thank Chief Kemper. You know, he always finds time for us in a busy day, which today I think he rode the subway. I wasn't supposed to get into it yet with the police commissioner all day. I think they're going to do a big story on it later tonight or tomorrow or something like that. But I want to thank Chief Kemper. I want to thank Alex. I want to thank Joni Pelzer. And we'll be back tomorrow on the Arthur Idala Power Hour, live and local here in New York City.
Arthur Idala Power Hour is sponsored by Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins PC.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.